welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jacqua. I'm the content director of Whole Foods Magazine, and I'm here with Todd Polley of 24 Stories Marketing. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Maggie.
Well, today we are continuing our leadership series with two special guests. We have Shannon Quinn. She's the COO, and Cynthia Cooper-Kelly. She is the CEO of GIG. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, it's great to be here.
I can't wait to talk to you both. In our July 2022 print issue and the digital online issue of Whole Foods Magazine, we're shining a spotlight on leaders in the natural products industry, people who are really making a positive difference in their communities, in the country, in the world at large. And today, we're talking to GIG. You can read expanded coverage in our print edition. And but we're going to dive in more and talk to you guys. So I'm excited to hear more. I want to start with talking about the heart of your story. What is your mission? Maybe Shannon, can you take that away for us?
Absolutely. So GIG was developed as a consumer support organization, and everything that we do centers around being able to continue to support people in the best way that we can. We are part of the community. My daughter is celiac. We all have family somewhere who's impacted. And so everything that we do is really centered around benefiting everyone in our community to the best of our ability.
Excellent. Can you and whoever wants to take this away, but talk to us through some of the early days, how you got started.
GIG is actually 47 years old this year. We were started by a research dietitian out of the University of Washington, finding a need for people who were diagnosed at the time when celiac disease was considered an orphan disease. And so she formed a support group, took the organization to a national level because as a dietitian, she also wrote one of the first diets ever for the gluten, for the people with celiac disease. So our very early days were formed around the consumer and just helping them to live when there weren't breads and other things available to them. Since then, we have expanded to be a very global and national organization with support groups all over the country and doing activities and providing services to food companies all over the country and all over the world.
Yeah, that's interesting. As we talk about in this issue, we talk about this series of leadership. I mean, you guys bring a completely different dynamic to leadership, not only within your organization, but also for huge groups of consumers. I have two of my sons who are celiac, and I remember that first few months. And granted, the first one was diagnosed 12 years ago, and the second one more recently. And it's changed even since in the last 12 years. But I can't imagine a more important leadership role when parents probably come to you all the time. What do I do? And granted, the options are so much better today, but still there's so many questions that come up. Can you talk a little bit about your role as far as leading consumers in that way and what you do to kind of give comfort, but also a resource to them?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, we come to this, you know, from a presence of, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. It's not the worst diagnosis you can possibly have. And like you said, everything is so much more available. You know, you can go to your local grocery store and pick up bread if you don't know how to make it. You can pick up mixes for things. And really, I think the most important thing that we bring to the table is the element of support. So if you have questions, if you need a place to go to once you've been diagnosed, we are an all-encompassing resource. So we've got diet plans, we've got recipes, we've got support groups in your local area. We've got teenagers who would love to talk to other teenagers about how to do this and not feel, you know, like they have to sit at the allergy table away from everyone. Or, you know, we want them to feel like they're part of a community that cares. And that really is the center of the way that we approach things.
And I know it's been hard through COVID and supply chain challenges and, you know, just changing the ways that people had to get food, especially in those early days. And you guys really stepped up and helped lift people through that. You know, it was already a scary time, but then if you can't find the food you need on top of it. So talk to us about some of what went on then and kind of how you've grown as an organization through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So May is Celiac Awareness Month, and we had a whole campaign ready to go for 2020, and then COVID. So the word of the year was pivot, right? So we changed up everything that we were doing, and we said, all these nurses on the front lines, all these first responders are having, you know, special deliveries and things brought in, but those that are celiac gluten sensitive, they can't enjoy those snacks. And so we created a hero campaign where we allowed people in the community to nominate first responders or anyone who was working through the pandemic on the front lines. And we would send them, you know, baskets of food or, you know, boxes of breads or just treats, things from local restaurants. And we pulled a lot of the community resources together. And in that time, we actually encountered this wonderful young lady named Lexi, and she had developed a program called Cutting Costs for Celiacs. They were one of the nominated heroes. And through that interaction, we decided that we wanted to help more than just her local Wisconsin area where she was supporting people with food insecurities. And so we teamed up, created GIG Cares, and now have launched this national program where she went from helping a handful of people in her immediate community to now us in over 42 states. We have new applications coming in every day. I think we processed 7 this morning. So lots and lots of families who need this program. And so we took her dream and we blew it up big. We took it all across the country. And I think that was the coolest thing that we did during the pandemic.
That's amazing. So, for people in the industry who want to get involved in that, who want to help you guys and support that, how can they get involved?
So monetary donations, obviously, these boxes that go out to the families are valued at approximately $50. We send staple things that are really important for them to have on a regular basis, whether it's mixes, whether it's, you know, shelf stable breads, even down to, I think we had boxes that went out with oat milk, and we've got cereals and anything that would be really, really good. So if they're a company who has a shelf stable product, donations are always welcome to be sent out in the boxes. If they don't have shelf stable products, but there's a way to get these consumers in touch with local retailers where they can pick up those products, that would be welcome too. We have other programs as well that would also benefit from the support of people wanting to get involved in the community. So there's a lot of different ways that they could help to make this difference and really just reach out. We're open.
Yes. Yeah, that's really great. Another thing that I thought was that's impressive about your work is some of the stuff you do in the industry on the B2B side. It sounds like you do a bit of work reaching out to food companies and manufacturers to talk, and probably there's a lot of education involved there. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, because I have to imagine, you know, there are a lot of established brands in our industry, but our industry is also really known for, you know, if you walk down the aisles of Expo West, all of these 10 by 10 booths and, you know, brand new products coming on the market. And I imagine anyone who is dealing with, you know, a product that, you know, is wheat-based, they're probably thinking, okay, how, you know, that's a huge segment now. How can we go gluten-free, or how can we offer those options? Can you talk about that work a little bit that you do in the industry?
Sure. So most people know GFCO. It's the biggest gluten-free certifier in the world. We hold hands to the best of our ability. So, you know, when I first started with GIG, GFCO was my baby. It's what I primarily focused on. And we would have companies come to us that were brand new, just finding manufacturing facilities, just getting packaging. And so we would help to connect them to the appropriate suppliers, help them to find, you know, the right tools that they needed to be successful even before they went through the certification. If any companies out there have a supplier challenge or they want to know where to go, we do have resources available online that they can access for free, where they can find manufacturers who already go through our process. And so they already know the policies and procedures, the safe handling requirements and all of those things related to the certification. We also have a huge education component that is translatable across the board. So not just the manufacturing industry, but also into food service, into healthcare, into anywhere that our community is going to be eating from.
One of our unique positions is that because we deal with the consumers, and we also deal with the manufacturers. We bring a unique perspective to the manufacturers who are trying to reach this community. We can very quickly say, this is not something you want to say, or you need to phrase it this way, because this community cares very much about their health. And saying the wrong thing or phrasing something in a way that is unintentionally going to cause a manufacturer more distress is something we would like to avoid.
Yeah, that seems to be, you know, as a gluten-free lifestyle has become something in the last several years, and maybe not just, you know, celiacs, there had to have been a lot of companies who maybe put a tagline on a package, did something, you know, to try to say, how do we get part of that market share without really doing the homework and coming at it with good intentions? Just my guess, but it tends to happen. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I imagine you have some education efforts in terms of trying to keep the industry true to, you know, your mission.
Yeah.
We do have educational opportunities that we have taken to the manufacturers and things. And we really like to talk about who the consumer is and why they need to care about the person with celiacs as much or more than the person who is living the lifestyle, because it is a lifestyle choice at this point in time. But if the messaging is wrong, and there have been some large companies where the messaging was wrong, and we stepped in to help them to change the messaging and to win over the community, because they weren't really doing anything harmful. They just didn't do their homework.
Excellent. And I know you guys go beyond this. I mean, we've touched on a lot of what you do, but also another very cool thing, the camp. Can you tell us about the camp that you have going on?
Yeah. So we actually have two related, I will call them, teenager summer programs. One would be our GIG Kids Camp. We have been operating that camp since I was, I think, in elementary school. I remember going and volunteering to help cook in the kitchen as a teenager. And those camps are partnered with two different camps, one in Washington State, one in North Carolina, where we send our GIG staff. They're in the kitchen. They're helping to make sure that everything is safe. These kids get an absolutely normal camp experience. They don't have to worry. They don't have to ask the questions. They know the food that comes out of our kitchen is safe. We also have validated camps where we offer scholarship programs as well. So they don't have to just go to the camp in Washington or North Carolina. We also have one in Texas and then one up in the Northeast as well. So we have scholarships available at all of those camps. Some have our staff, some do not. And then the related program that we have is our Teen Summit, which happens every summer. And this year, the theme is like a chef boot camp. So we've partnered up with the Culinary Institute of America and have an intensive 2-day experience for these kids to come in and learn some really, really cool cooking skills.
That is awesome. I love that.
It's apparent you guys are up to all kinds of things. And so I just want to pull it back a little bit and talk about, how do you get it done? How do you do all of this? Because I think that's really related to leadership in an integral way. I mean, not only, it's not like, you know, most people try to line up and go down one lane, right? And really that makes it a whole lot easier, but you're across consumers, brands, then you're running this camp. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. So talk to us a little bit about that, how you get it all done and how you, you know, and succeed at it too.
Our core values include hard work. So we believe in hard work. We're a small organization as they go, but we are mighty in that we believe in what we're doing, our staff believes in what we're doing, and we get the work done. We have had to focus. So we have had to teach our staff that we can't do everything, and we do teach them to say no to some programs, but those that we are committed to, we make it happen. Shannon?
It's impressive.
I was just going to say, we also have a killer team. I have people that I work with every day that they make my day, and then we get to do cool things for other people too. You know, every person that works here has some level of, you know, community involvement, or like they all have so much heart. And I think being able to utilize that together just inspires all of us all day long. So yeah, we work hard, but it's fun.
Excellent. So looking ahead, what is on the horizon for GIG? What can we expect to be seeing in, you know, later 2022 and into 2023?
I think the biggest thing is continuing our grassroots efforts. So we have our summer camps and our summit coming up early this summer. And then towards the end of the summer, we have a fundraiser gala that will be benefiting the GIG Cares programs, our support groups, camps, and our food insecurity program, the Cutting Costs program. Into 23, all kinds of, I think, cool things coming up. Really just expanding our community outreach efforts. I think that is where we're really going to focus hard this year, is making sure that our volunteers have plenty to do and that our community feels completely supported.
Excellent. And as things come up, keep us posted, right, on Whole Foods. We'll share the news.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks. It's really, really amazing work that you all do. Is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap it up?
I would just say we are here to support the person where they live right now. Mm-hmm. So many of our sister organizations, they're looking for that cure and things like that. And we want to support people here and now. So, mm-hmm. you know, as you said with your son, the first time I was diagnosed, I was figuring out how to make ketchup and things like that because of the science that we were dealing with at the time. So we want people to feel like they can live and it's not that scary. So that's what we're about.
Yeah, what an important mission to help people where they are right now. So excellent.
Love the good work that you guys are doing. And, you know, we'll continue to report on it and share the news. And thank you both for coming here and filling us in and shining a light on this. We're happy to get the message out.
Thanks so much for having us.